I do apologize about not incensing the book of the Gospels. It only struck my mind like halfway through the Gospel. I was like, oh yeah, that's why he's standing behind me. My theory on incense is this. If you can see me when I'm done incensing, I haven't done enough. So I believe I'm similar as your pastor on that. My name is Father Dan. We've just decided to streamline everything in the diocese for you, so we've named all of our priests Father Dan now. It's just much easier. It'll be great. You'll get used to it. I am lying, of course, but my name is Father Dan, so nice to meet you. I'll be here for a couple of months. You might see me around. Anyway, a couple of months back, I was in Washington, D.C. and made a visit to the Museum of Illusion. It's a great little museum that lets you walk around and experience many different forms of illusion. Large and small visual delights, it takes about 45 minutes to walk through. But it has such rooms as, I'm sorry, it has such things as a room with a slanted floor that makes one person appear giant and the other person in the other corner look minuscule. It has things where you stand on a red square on the floor and there are red pieces laid out behind you. And then when your friend takes a picture of it on your phone, it looks like you are standing on top of a very large, oversized red chair. They even had a small John the Baptist exhibit. Actually, it was just a table that you popped your head through and it made it look like it was chopped off. But I thought it was a John the Baptist exhibit, so. It had so many fun things that made your brain short circuit and say, what? Even though I am seeing things with my eyes and they are relaying that information to my brain doesn't have a file folder for what it's seen. So it doesn't know how to easily classify it to understand it. We know what is happening when we look at the illusion, and it delights our brain. But it's because our brain knows that it is one thing, and our eyes are telling us that it's something else. This is the feeling that the disciples had encountered with the resurrected Jesus. They saw him. They interacted with him. But it didn't make sense in their brains. In the midst of the confusion, this is when the Lord chooses to act. Instead of letting the bewilderment about him persist, he acts in the most personal way that he can. He offers his body again as testimony for who he is. The first time he offered his body as testimony was at the Last Supper when he gave us the Eucharist. He next gives testimony with his body on the cross, showing the depth of love that he has for each one of us. He offers the testimony of his body again to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, even though they do not recognize him until he shows them the Eucharist. And in the gospel today, we have Jesus offer his body as a testimony of the resurrection. He wants the disciples to know that he isn't a ghost. He isn't a phantom. This isn't a trick. He is who he said he was the whole time. He is the Son of God. He shows them proof of this by having all the wounds of the crucifixion, but being alive and not in pain. The disciples' minds see him, but don't know how to classify him in their brains. They see him, but not him. A new him, but still the old him. They see Jesus that they knew, but he's somehow different. However, this isn't an illusion, and it's not a trick. As St. Peter offers in his own letters, these aren't cleverly devised myths that we follow. This is the same Jesus that they knew before. Except he isn't the same. He is so much better. Because now they have the Jesus they have always wanted him to be. Not the conquering Messiah that they were expecting because of Jewish prophecy, but rather he proves to them that he is the Son of God that he claimed to be the whole time he was preaching. They no longer had to wonder if this man who could heal the blind and the lame and claimed to be able to forgive sins did all of these things, because he was indeed sent from heaven. Now they could see, hear, smell, and touch Jesus. They could see the evidence of the cruel torture and death he endured, and yet also the evidence that he had risen. This must have made their brains hurt. But Jesus does everything he can to show that he is like them in all things but sin. He has them draw close to him so that they might touch his glorified body and believe. But also he wants their hearts to draw close to him. And this is what he desires for us too. It says in the end of the gospel that the minds of the disciples were opened. This is the miracle that takes place in the gospel today. They had been with Jesus for years. They had seen him perform miracles, healings, exorcisms, miraculously appear and disappear. They saw him walk on water, and now they have seen him rise from the grave. They saw all of this, and they still did not understand, for their brains still looked at everything as if it were a trick or an illusion. They saw it happen in front of them, but they didn't understand. And it isn't until the Lord opens their minds by diving into the scriptures that they gain understanding. We hear about the conversion of heart that the Lord is still asking for, even though they have known him for so long. This is why we reread the scriptures year after year. The Lord still desires that we be constantly converted to him in our heart, even if we have been following him for a long time. For our God is still in the miracle business. And he is no less miraculous for us than he was for the disciples. He wants us all, as disciples, to draw close to him. He wants us to examine him as the Savior and choose him, not to blindly follow him. To blindly follow the Lord without love for him and his scriptures is living life like a zombie. The Lord wants disciples who consume his living body to be transformed from the inside out. Not zombies who blindly follow and crave dead flesh. He wants us to see everything the world has to offer and still choose him. That is why the first reading is St. Peter giving a brief lesson in salvation history, only to drop the last line on us. He says at the end of the first reading, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." Conversion of heart is where we conform our hearts more closely to the heart of Jesus. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. By spending time in the scriptures, by learning about the faith, and by spending time in prayer, we are allowing the Lord to chip away those parts of our hearts that do not serve him. And when we let go of those parts of us that do not bring him glory, we become more truly who God has created us to be. We do not hide behind the illusion of who we want to be, but we become authentically who God has made us to be. To authentically choose the Lord requires a choice to be made every day. This is why St. Paul in the second reading reminds us that we must choose to follow the commandments every day. If we do not, we are what everyone outside the church hates. We are hypocrites. However, when we allow the Lord to call us into deeper conversion of heart, it allows us to follow the commandments more closely and to not be hypocrites, but to become saints. My brothers and sisters, in the words of St. Paul, I am telling you this so that you may not commit sin. But if you do, welcome to being human. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't about being a perfect, mindless follower. But it's about using all the intelligence that we have been given to examine the claims of Christ and answer the question for ourselves, is Jesus God? If he is, then we choose to follow him every day by following the commandments. And if we do not, the scripture itself calls us liars. When we let him, ourselves, and the rest of humanity down through sin, we go to confession. When we follow a God who isn't hiding behind smoke and mirrors, it's a wonderful adventure. For he is a God who wants to be so close to us that he came to earth and still resides with us in the Eucharist. A God who wants to know us and be known by us. If we have a beautiful relationship with the Lord, then ask yourself today in which ways the Lord might be asking you to go even deeper with him. If we even doubt that God exists, ask him to show up in your life as powerfully as he did for those doubting disciples after the resurrection. Pray a simple prayer. Jesus, if you exist, reveal yourself to me, and then see what happens. Our God is the God of miracles, not of illusion. So let's not fool ourselves that he doesn't care for us.